Good morning. This is Becky Speed, the direct sales specialist and the Christian direct seller. I'm really, really excited to spend some time with you this morning. We are in the very last Monday of September, so we're just really inching into that fall season. And here in San Antonio, it's so pretty warm, but I know many of you are experiencing leaves changing and cooler, crisper nights and fun football games and things like that. So I'm just excited about God's goodness in our lives. It's also usually a very exciting season for entrepreneurs and for direct sellers because we are moving into what we consider the best selling season because everybody's starting to think about holiday shopping. They're also thinking more about being home. They're nesting a little bit more. So it usually works out to be really an amazing season for us. And one of the things that the Lord kept laying on my heart is there seems to be all these walls that are built up that need to be torn down. And as I was thinking about that, he just kept showing me that we put up our own walls of disbelief and we actually become prisoners inside of our own offices, our own homes. We don't really start sharing. We think that if we put a few posts out or private message a few people on Facebook that things are going to be business as usual, but they're not. And then there's been also places where we've allowed people or situations or circumstances to come in like the enemy and just destroy our city and destroy our walls. And then I remembered as I was thinking about that, a fun little puppet animated show that we used to watch with the kids, and it was about Nehemiah and how Nehemiah was actually an amazing person. He was a high official in the Persian government, and God kept talking and speaking to his heart that he needed to go back and rebuild the city of, or the walls of Jerusalem, that God wanted to start a restoration. And so he decided he would go and do that, and he took some of his little puppet friends, and they were just, I mean, all over the place. You want to talk about a gangly group. But he went back and looked at the walls, and man, they just didn't know if they could do it or not, but Nehemiah was obedient, and he knew that he could accomplish what God set him out to do. It seemed unlikely for his skill set and what he was really doing in the Persian government. And then I wondered about how many of the times in our own business that we just kind of look at what God has asked us to do and we think, oh, I don't know if I could rebuild. I don't know if I could rebuild. I know this time of year a lot of people think, and the only reason why I know this is because a lot of my coaching clients are saying, I wasn't as faithful over the summer. I don't have much going on. I thought by now, usually in September, I can get a really strong booking calendar, but you know, we're heading into October, and I'm nervous because I didn't do what I was supposed to do all summer, and the wall's kind of decayed in my business, and I need to build it back up. I don't have the shows. I'm not seeing the people. I'm not recruiting. My team doesn't have the same vision. We've kind of lost contact. And I don't know if that's your case or not, but I want you to know today that regardless of your background, regardless of your circumstances, God wants you to build and strengthen and fortify your city and restore your city and your business. And as we look at the walls, they might be crumbled down because of a lack of relationship, a lack of connection, a lack of commitment, maybe from your part on doing your business. Or maybe you're looking and you think, you know what, but I'm a director. I'm a manager. I shouldn't have to be out in the field every day. I was talking with one of my mentors, and I was on a call with him a few weeks ago. And there was a gentleman that got on the call, and he said, you know, I got complacent in my business. You know, I've had a really great income. I've been working off of retainer. I've got a really strong business, but then all of a sudden, I lost my one really good client because it was the end of their agreement. It wasn't anything that I did wrong. He said, but I wasn't faithful to keep filling the funnel. He said, and now I'm sitting here facing a lot of bills, and I don't have the money. How much time should I be spending looking for new clients? And the answer kind of surprised me. And this is from one of the wisest business minds that I've ever met in my entire life. He said, I want you to catch this, that we need to be spending 80% of our time seeking, finding, and mining new business. 80% of our time needs to be focused on new business. I thought that was quite a bit. Then I thought into my mind, how could I manage to do everything else? And I really looked at what were the activities that I was actually doing, not the ones I was saying I was doing, not the ones I was thinking about doing, but the actual activities that I did. If you're not actively pursuing new business, let's just say you don't want to have really amazing success, but you only want to have some success, it should be at least 50 to 80% of your daily activities, day in, day out, every day, every month of the entire year. That was kind of shocking to me. Now, I don't want you to get discouraged or feel overwhelmed and definitely not think, well, you're talking crazy, Becky. I'm going to hang up the phone now. let's think and look at what Nehemiah's situation was. Now, in Nehemiah 4, it's kind of where you see this story played out, okay? Nehemiah 4:20 says, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. So, I don't know if you know this or not, but the story kind of starts where Nehemiah takes a bunch of gangly people out to the wall, and they just decide to start building. And as soon as they start, Nehemiah has got everybody pumped up, right? We've got to get everybody pumped up before we get started into our big adventure and our big journey here. And I'll bet he had an attitude something like this, where he said, you know what? We've got something great to offer. We're on a mission. We've got something amazing to do. And he tells each person, you're one of a kind. You've got great personality. You've got great looks. You don't want to waste a minute of your time trying to make people like you here. We want you to just jump right in. Take your strength. We're going to do this thing. We're going to make this wall happen. Just know that you can trust God and you can trust me, because God's going to bring divine connections, and we're going to be able to celebrate who you are as you take your skills and you take your talents, and we're going to build this wall together. Now, when he started rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, there were two men. They were at the bottom of the mountain, and their names were Tobiah and Sanballat. Now, with those names, I'm sure they were picked on a lot themselves, but, you know, that's in a whole other story. But they were huge critics. According to Nehemiah 4, the whole time he was up there working, they were hollering at him, and it sounded something like this. Hey, Nehemiah, come down here and fight with us. You're never going to finish that wall. You don't have what it takes. Have you ever had somebody in your life or your business tell you the same thing? Hey, Becky, what do you think you're doing? Just come down here. Come on, I don't think you can do it. And you know what? Nobody else does. I don't think you're ever going to finish that. Well, I don't think you're ever going to finish that business. I don't think you're going to be successful in it. Who do you think you are? You don't have what it takes. Ever heard those words before? Boy, I sure have. It's a little crushing when it comes from the people that you care about most. The people that you thought were going to want to support you, maybe host your first shows, or maybe support you when times get tough and you get a little frustrated or discouraged. Maybe it's a spouse, a parent, a girlfriend. Maybe it's your upline. Maybe it's a sister, person on your team. But you know what I love about Nehemiah, and I love about this story, is even though Nehemiah was sweating, he was busting it trying to rebuild this wall, he stayed focused. Even when these people were relentless and wanting to fight. I mean, how many times have you been in a situation and you just did not want to fight? I mean, you just did not want. And somebody keeps coming at you and coming at you and coming at you, and you're just like, leave me alone. I'm not engaging. Leave me alone. I'm not interested. But then pretty soon they get really irritating, and you're just like, I've had enough. Well, Nehemiah didn't say he had enough. They were making a lot of noise. They kept threatening him, embarrassing him, calling him names, but he recognized there was no business in entering into that fight. When God puts a dream in your heart, there's always going to be a Sanballat, and a Tobias. They're going to be trying to engage you in battles that don't matter. Why? Because the enemy, one of his greatest tactics, is distraction. He wants you to think that you're defeated because he knows what's happening at the end of the book. But we do too. We know that we're the winners. They might talk mean to you. They might say things behind your back. They'll try to lure you into strife. But I want to encourage you, now more than ever, to be disciplined, recognizing when it's a battle that's worth fighting and when it's not. You know, there is an incredible comedian, and I loved him to pieces. He's still alive. I just saw him actually about a year ago. And he's still just as funny as I remember him being when I was a little girl. It's Bill Cosby. And what he says is, I don't know the secret of success, but I do know the secret of failure, and that's to try to please everybody. He's talking from experience. We'd be wise to take his advice. You know, we have to accept that not everybody's going to support us. They're just simply not. That's why we say it's a numbers game, and why we have to get probably 10 people interested in order to get one to say yes. We need to realize that not everybody's going to like us. That's okay. Stop trying to waste all your time trying to get people to like you and get on task. Start building those walls that the Lord's asked you to build. Build your business. Not everybody's going to understand you, and that's okay too. But be the best that you can be, and God's going to take care of all of your critics. You know, one of the things that the Lord told Nehemiah is he didn't have time to keep going up and down on the wall. There just wasn't enough time. He had to be on task and get this wall completed. But yet we try to come off the wall all the time. You don't have time to convince your critics. You don't have time to argue. You have a destiny to fulfill. You've got a business to fulfill what God's really called you to do. You have an assignment to accomplish. I want you to learn to just ignore your Tobias and ignore your Sanballats, whatever they may be. And you can be just like Nehemiah. Before long, you're going to be able to complete your wall, and your actions will prove it to your critics. You know, Nehemiah not only had a building tool in one hand, he had so much harassment and so many threats and so many attacks constantly. They weren't just verbal attacks. They were physical attacks. He had to have a building tool in one hand and a weapon of war in the other. And so did every single one of his builders. Maybe God's asking you to do the same. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and just really just ask him to bless you with wisdom and bless you with the desire to do what it takes to be successful in your business and to ignore your Tobiases and your Sanballats. Father God, I thank you that you love us so much, that you encourage us, that you give us your word, and you've given us stories. And we know they're just not stories of people's lives, but they're stories that are alive with true and very applicable meaning for us today. Lord, we rebuke the Tobiases. We rebuke the Sanballats in our lives. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you will silence the mouth of the accusers, that you would create peace, that the attacks would stop. But Father God, I thank you that you've given us this story about Nehemiah because he was faithful. And even though at times, most times, he was building with a building tool in one hand and a weapon in the other, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen us, just like your word tells us in Isaiah, that you will strengthen us. We'll have the strength like eagles have, where we can soar with your strength underneath our wings. Lord, you also gave us the example when Moses was in a heavy battle, Lord. He felt he couldn't keep his hands up any longer, but they knew that if his hands were raised, they would stay in victory, that others came and shored up around him and held his arms up. Lord, I'm sure that the battle wasn't easy for Nehemiah, and listening to the negativity day in and day out and day in and day out, and then have physical attacks on top of it and things that would distract and destroy what they've already done. I'm sure that was frustrating. But I praise you that you gave us the example of Nehemiah to keep our eye on the prize, to keep our eye on you, keep our eye on the destiny and the call that you've given us. Lord, I thank you that there usually is a big surge in business this time of year, but I pray that you will help us to have more consistent business day in and day out by doing the things that you require us to do to have a good and a solid business, one that's prospering. Lord, I ask that you would help us to do our best, be the best person that we could be, and then to trust in you to do the rest. Trust in you to bring the favor. Lord, I thank you that you cause us to triumph in absolutely everything. Lord, today I choose to stay focused on what you've called me to do. Lord, help me to remember. Help each one of the callers to remember to stay focused on what you've called us to do. Help us not to get distracted by those many shiny objects that are zooming by us each and every day and all these messages and all these things that look attractive and might even appear to our natural mind to be easier. Help us to stay focused on what you've called us to do and help us to ignore the distractions and those battles that just don't matter. Lord, we're plagued by those now. Everybody picking them. We just ask for relief in that in Jesus' name so that we can move forward on the path that you've prepared for us in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to stay focused on the main goals that God's put in our hearts. Lord, that's such a desire for us. We want to do amazing things and let you do amazing things in and through us more than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine, according to Ephesians 3:20. And like David, that you will defeat our giants, just like we talked about last week, that it's not us going and doing the giant slaying for you. It's when we call on your name, when we speak your word, and we do this with faith, that you are the one that comes and defeats the giants because you say you will. Nothing more. And just like Nehemiah, Lord, that you'll complete the walls, you'll fortify our business, and they'll strengthen our businesses. And Lord, I ask that we would not put up walls that don't belong, ones that would keep us caged in or not going out and about as we should to fulfill that destiny. Help us to ignore the distractions that are going to accompany, Lord, our goals as we try to accomplish them. Lord, I ask that you will help us that we would swiftly accomplish your dream, your destiny that you have put in our heart. You're a loving God, a kind God, one that wants goodness for us. Lord, I pray that you will continue to give Betty discernment and that she will be obedient to God's will in her job and in her life. Lord, I continue to pray for Carol's son. Lord, we know he's got this from the very minute she even said the request. Lord, I just knew in my heart the job was his. Lord, I pray for wayward children. Lord, my heart's so heavy by the children that we've raised that have walked away from you. Your word tells us, and we boldly confess, that if we raise a child in the way that he should go, he will not depart from it when he is old. Lord, I know there's a seed, a time, and a harvest in your perfect plan, but we claim for this harvest, a quick harvest, a fruitful harvest in their lives. Holy Spirit, run them down. Lord, I ask that you would place in their space godly men, godly women that could speak into their lives, that you would take the scales off of their eyes, that their ears would be unplugged, they would hear the truth, see the truth, and they would have that yearning of a circumcised heart to be drawn closer and closer to you, Lord. We know this generation has had more distractions and more evil brought before them in their eyes and their heart. Lord, I rebuke the spirit of pharmakia and witchcraft and drug use. Lord, I rebuke spirits of prostitution and girls giving themselves to men. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, a mighty work take place today. And Lord, we might not see the fruit of this at this moment, but we believe that we have it in Jesus' name with unwavering faith. We stand united together because you tell us where two or three are gathered together that you're there also, that these children are coming home, home to you, home to be the men and women of God that you've created them to be. We just ask, Lord, that you would close the ears to the lies of the enemy, that you would give them a great spirit of discernment, that you would speak wisdom and love into their lives. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We know that you're raising up a mighty army, and we say, yes, Lord, I'm enlisted. Yes, Lord, use me. We're also claiming this for all of the children. Father God, I thank you that you love us and you want good things for us, and you want us to have businesses where we have time with our families. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to waste our moments, that we would redeem the day, that we would, our souls would be ignited on fire, that we would be on purpose and working in the direction that you have for us. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to do all the battles ourselves. You do give us wisdom. You ask us to do certain things, Lord, and we gladly do that as our reasonable service. But, Lord, I thank you that you're giving us the peace that goes beyond our understanding to trust you. Help us not to get in the way. Help us not to speak when we shouldn't speak or do things that we shouldn't do. We love you. We glorify you. We want to further your kingdom and give you all the glory. Lord, I ask if there's any sin in our hearts, but today we could just confess those before you. We ask forgiveness. We want to walk anew. We don't want to hold on to unforgiveness. We don't want bitterness to take root in our heart. But we want to be loving, faithful, obedient servants for you. We love you, Father God, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you join us again next Monday. We always will do this each and every Monday. We take prayer requests starting about 8:30 in the morning, and then we start the Bible study at, we start taking prayer requests and praise reports at 8:25. We start the Bible study and the prayer call at 8 o'clock. If you have a prayer request that is confidential, just know that you can come and bring that to the call at 8:30. It's not recorded, but know that we'll be praying for you all week long. And I want to hear your praise reports, because I know God's doing miracles, and he's healing bodies, and he's healing relationships, and he's building the walls that need to be built, and he's tearing down the others that need to be torn down. So I want to praise with you. I want to pray with you. I just want to be here to support you and know that you're not alone as you minister in the marketplace. Thank you for this honor. I don't take it lightly that you join us and you take time out of your Monday morning, but I've heard from so many people that they just don't feel the same if they miss the call. I do post the replays later in the day, so you can always go over to Facebook and get the replay links. They would be available on my timeline as well as on the Christian Direct Seller business page. But know that I'm here. And I love you, and God loves you, and he's got amazing things for you. If you're stuck in the middle of what you feel is a battle, or you've got someone that's just standing and barraging you, and it just seems to be too much, I hope that this has encouraged you, because God's got a great plan. He's going to help you to be stronger and make your business stronger than it's ever been. Be faithful. Don't get distracted. Keep a weapon in one hand and keep a building tool in the other. The greatest weapon that we have is the Word of God. Speak it. Speak it out loud. I love you guys. I will be with you next week. I'm going to turn off the recording in case someone else came in late. I see we've got many, many people that came in later. If you have a prayer request, I'll take that after I turn the recording off and add you to the list. God bless you.